Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Beautiful day here in Los Angeles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Look,
you don't need me to tell you that. You live in Los Angeles, you know.
You don't live in Los Angeles, you go on weather.com, you type in zip code 90048.
Well,
or
I mean,
90006.
If you're a real weather fan, you go on Weather Underground.
Okay.
Which, by the way, they've shortened to W Underground.
Oh.
Or Wonderground.
Is that a 60s revolutionary group?
That's a weird thing about how it's the name of that website.
Okay.
But it's a nicer website than weather.com.
Sure. You get the weather from that beautiful weather lady, Patty Hearst. Right? Did I...
Yeah, okay. You're right there. You're good. It's a strange thing for them to have named their website on.
Yeah.
After a long, long time ago. Get a nice hourly forecast with a little picture.
Yeah.
I like Weather Underground. It gives you more localized weather.
Oh, is this an actual website?
Oh, yeah. No, this is a real website.
That's called the Weather Underground?
Name that.
Do they have like a... Okay.
Like a ticking time bomb is their logo?
Yeah. Or, yeah. I guess like I've moved on. I mean, obviously maybe they just, you know... didn't really look into what that meant or what it stands for, or just kind of assumed everybody forgot. But because they added underground, is the idea that this is edgier, this is hipper, this is like kind of a young person's weather site.
I think it's the weather site for people who care about weather.
Oh,
I'll
gotcha.
Tell you what. Sure. I had a friend.
Not fair weather fans.
No.
You wouldn't want a fair weather fan on the Weather Underground.
Weather fans probably hate fair weather, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. They like extreme weather.
My middle school friend, Cameron Laughlin, he always wanted to be – he loved weather more than anything. And he would tell you, like, he'd be like, I love weather. And you'd be like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
We're 12. You know what I mean?
I guess
– But wait. I became Facebook friends with him not long ago. He's a fucking meteorologist. He's a TV meteorologist in like Phoenix or something.
He achieved his dream.
He's living
That's like his
dream.
Number one. Yeah, but if you're a weather-loving kid, the thing you want to be the most is the weatherman.
I mean, to be fair, when I was like 12, if you said, what do you really love? I would have said, bullshit. Just talking bullshit for hours on end.
You've done it. You've achieved your dream.
Here I am. Yeah. I'm Jordan Jesse Go today. Let's introduce our guest on the program. His name, I'll do his name last.
Okay. Credits first.
Credits first. He's in town here for the Emmy Awards, for which he was nominated along with his compatriots from the program The Daily Show with – I'm forgetting his name.
Jon Stewart.
Right. Yeah, right. I wanted to say –
Wait.
I wanted to say John Daly.
Sure. You were going to say Guy Gardner. You were going to name another Green Lantern.
He's
Guy Fieri.
He's the host.
The Daily Show with Guy Fieri.
You know, I'm waiting for Jon Stewart to direct a second film so Guy Fieri can fill in as the host.
There's going to be a lot more about flaming onions on the show.
The blue cheese prices rising around the nation.
He's also the host of the wonderful podcast, The Flop House, which you should subscribe to. Just go ahead and subscribe to it. I can't tell you why right now.
Okay.
But I'll say this.
It's a teaser.
In a few weeks, you'll know why.
All right.
But also because it's good.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's two reasons. One is the reason that you'll find out in a few weeks. The other reason is because it's good.
Oh, this is like
for enjoyment.
You're teasing a sort of post-credits sequence.
Yeah. This is a pre-show post-credit sequence. Dan McCoy. Hi, Dan.
Hello. Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
I don't mean to be a downer.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the program, but there's something that I've been thinking about a lot over the past week.
But AIDS.
It is right.
Anyway, what's going on with you, Dan? Now that I've said AIDS,
sincerely, right up there with AIDS. But I figured it'd be something to talk about right at the beginning of the show. And then we'll play our little music
and reset,
and then we can go back into the bullshit. So, I mean, I'm sure you, Dan. I know you're probably follow the news, or maybe you're taking a vacation from the news since you're on hiatus from your show. But I mean, obviously, like the biggest news in the world is what's going on in St. Louis and Ferguson, Missouri, right now. And And I was I've basically just been reading about it. I was feeling it really strongly. And, you know, a lot of people are, I'm hardly the only person. And, for a lot of different reasons. I mean, it's a really painful situation from every angle. And I was thinking about why it was why I was feeling it so
potently, deeply.
So directly. And I thought of something that happened when I was a teenager. I was going to save it for my other podcast, San Francisco Stories with
sure.
Jesse Thorne.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that I've just never I've literally never talked about with anybody. And it's come up for me a few times when this kind of thing has come up in the news. It's come up for the feelings have come up in me so strongly. And I think it's because of this thing that happened. And so I thought, if I have a venue to talk about it, I should talk about it. So when I was in high school, I took classes at San Francisco State, which was right on the campus of my high school. And one of the classes was a class that was called History of the Funk, which I know sounds like a made-up class, but wasn't a made-up class. It was an African-American studies class at San Francisco State. And, it was like it was both weird and amazing to be in this class because it was weird because even though I guess the other people in the class were only like 2 years older than me, I was 17 and they were 19. And there's just like 1,000 years difference between that. And this was not that big of a class, maybe like a 15 or 18 person class. And the class was like, it was like a really special class. Like George Clinton came, and one of the kids who made the most impression on me was this guy named Charles. And Charles was like the big man on campus in the class, a really sort of fun, boisterous guy. And he was very nice to me, I took a number of these classes, mostly I'd just sit in the back and be quiet because I wasn't a college kid and they were. It was very nice to me, and I sort of knew him to say hello. And I was very grateful to him for that because it was such an unusual thing. And that was the fall semester of my senior year, something like that. And in the spring, they had proof of payment on the light rail, where there's no toll gate. You just have to prove where you pay it. And it was new. And so they would have cops come through. We would have cops come through sometimes and ask people for proof that they paid. Just show me your bus pass. And one time I was standing on the platform and the cops were coming through and they asked me for my bus pass. And I gave them my bus pass. And this guy, Charles, was down the platform a little bit from me. I saw him and recognized him. And these two cops, one of them was like a – one of them looked like a – like a cop from a movie, like Jay Johnston from Mr. Show when he plays a cop, like a big white guy with a mustache. And the other guy was this real muscly Asian guy. And they went and asked Charles for his bus pass. And he kind of stretched it out, like he was like, "What? Come on." Or something like that. I don't even remember. And the cop, got up in his face, and he's like, "Oh, whatever, man, whatever," or something like that. And he went in his backpack super slow to get this, to get his bus pass out. But he did, you know, he got his bus pass out. And the cop says, show me your ID. And Charles is like, why do I have to show you my ID? And the cop's like, because I asked you to show me your ID. And it started turning into this confrontation between this guy and this cop. And I mean, I guess I probably didn't mention that Charles was black, but Charles was black. And it was this bullshit thing. It was the most bullshit thing in the world. You know, it's this cop being a fucking asshole for no reason, literally no reason at all. And Charles, you know, it's like one of those things. It's like you can see a guy that is, you know, scared and trying to be a big man about it. And basically this confrontation between these two guys is happening, and people are turning around and being like, why are you hassling this guy or whatever? And the big white cop's partner is kind of pushing people out of the way and like clearing a perimeter around this guy, you know, and this war of words between the cop and Charles is getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And, you know, I don't remember what God says. It's a long time ago. You know, it's like, man, fuck you or something like that. And the cop grabbed him, put the handcuff on one of his wrists, pulled it around his arm, pushed him down on the ground, was on top of him with his knee in his back, cuffed his other wrist. At this point, Charles is like crying out, in both in pain and in anger and fear. And I remember him saying, you know, like, you can't do this to me. You can't do this to me, like that kind of thing. And I remember him saying, literally saying, you know, you can't change me. You can't chain me up like this. Like, you know, this African-American studies student, this kid's no, you know, he knows what the fuck is up. He's like, you can't chain me up like this. But he's like angry, but he's like scared and hurt, physically hurt, and the other kind of hurt. And I remember at one point he said, you know, you can't chain me up like a slave, is something that he said. And then he said, what are you going to do to me? And they're like, we're arresting you. And he's like, for what? And they're like, for whatever. I don't even remember what the fuck it was. For failure to provide a bus pass. Lack of proof of payment. He's like, what the fuck? And they're like, what is that? What's going to happen? And, you know, this girl that was there with him is like, what's going to happen to him? And the other cop is like, we're going to take him downtown and process him and charge him and all this different shit. And he's flipping out and they've got him down on the ground with a knee in his back, and other people are trying to calm people down, but the other cop is like yelling at people to get the fuck away, and then people are like, why should we get away, like whatever, you know. And in the end, you know, they took him downtown, and, you know, I presume booked him. You know, by this time I wasn't in this class with this guy, you know, like it was just a guy I knew to say hi, you know. And I went home that day to my mom's house, and I was, you know, I was really broken up about this because, you know, like I was wary of police officers, and I had had a couple of bad experiences with police officers, but I had also had good experiences with police officers. You know, like I grew up in a, you know, one time I got jumped on the street and when I was like 12 or 13 and, you know, some cops came and they said, you know, there's nothing we can do about it, but we can give you a ride home. You know, so it was, I had had both kinds of experiences, but this really, really messed me up. And I got home and I said to my mom, you know, this thing happened at school, and I told her about it, and I told her what happened. And you know, my mom gave me the number to like call it in, to call in like a citizen complaint, you know. And I didn't, because whatever, you know, I don't know, because I was 17 and I was, the whole thing just had me really shook up, and I didn't know this guy, and I thought about, oh, you know, should I go talk to our professor about it? And because he might know this guy's number, and I can just call him and just let him know if he needs my testimony or something. Or, but, you know, the fact is that I didn't do any of that shit. And and so when this stuff happens, you know, I mean, he was, I'm sure he was fine. You know, I mean, physically fine anyway, you know. Like, I don't think they, you know, I don't think they beat him up on the way of the booking or something, you know. But it was a pretty fucked up thing, you know. And I didn't do anything about it. And so when this kind of thing comes up, I feel that mistake that I made then about not doing anything about it. Because even though I was 17 and whatever, like, the truth is that, you know, one of the things about my life is that being a well-spoken white male, who, you know, can wear a necktie, gives me a power that I can use if I choose to, that other people don't necessarily have access to. And I felt like it was my responsibility to do that, and I fucked it up. And I don't, you know, I mean, like I said, I was 17 years old, you know. It's not that I shouldn't have, it's not that I needed to have done it, or that someone else in my position would have done something differently or whatever. It's, but I could have done something. And the reason I decided to talk about it was, you know, I'm, in addition to all of those things that, I have that give me power now, is that, you know, we have this show, and, you know, I think it's a, once in a while we talk about something like this, as much as it's mostly a bullshit thing. I just wanted to say that that happened, and there were two things that I wanted to say. One was, I just wanted to say that I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry to Charles that I didn't help him when I had the chance to. The other thing I wanted to say was that if you are ever in a position where you can help someone, and you know, I sincerely don't think that it's about you know, police being predatory and people of color being victims in a pure sense or anything like that, but I do think that there's, you know, there's a huge imbalance of power, and if you're ever in a position like the position that I was in, you know, even if it's hard to do something, it's worth doing something. And I can say that as somebody who didn't, and then live with it for, you know, whatever it's been, 15 years. And I think about it. And I also know that other people have had to live with this much more than I. But if you're in a position to do something about it, you know, do it, and then and you won't have to, you know, you won't have to deal with this. And I don't know. Hopefully, for me, this is doing something about it now, even though I didn't do something about it then. So. So, not quite AIDS. but there you go. Unless you guys have any questions or comments. we can take a quick break, and then when we come back, I am sincerely interested in finding out how the Creative Arts Emmys went.
Like I didn't already feel like a privileged asshole.
Yeah.
I promise. I didn't tell this story to make anyone feel like a dick or like or make anyone feel guilty.
Your heartfelt feelings sabotage me, Thorne.
Make anyone. I just you know, I mean the thing. At the end of the day, like, I'm just I found it – the thing that I found so in watching all of this stuff about the situation in Ferguson, the thing that I found most comforting was the number of people who were being brave and standing up for justice – and just doing their best to make a contribution when they didn't have to. And you know, I think people have made mistakes on both sides, but that part of it I found a lot of comfort in. So, you know, I don't think, you know, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to change the course of your life and become a nun. Oh, if you want to, go for it. It's going to be harder if you're a guy. But it's going to be better if you're on the lam from the mob.
Because then you get to hide out where they're showering and see all the nubile young nuns.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
While you're on the run.
I think we just put together an awesome pitch.
Yeah.
I say we call it Nuns on the Run.
Okay.
anyway. Okay. Look, that's all settled. We'll come back with bullshit. In just a second, on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Dan McCoy, mournful sigh.
I probably should have told Jordan and Dan about that beforehand. In retrospect, things I would have done differently about that.
It's like a fun improv game. Yeah. Dig someone into a hole and then...
instead of yes and you, nod respectively.
Here's something really stupid. Some pure stupidity to get us back in the mood. The other day I was walking down the street and I saw a huge, I'm guessing maybe Samoan guy, shaved head, super intense facial hair. And he had a t-shirt that had like, Samoan tattoo designs all on it, you know, like a super intense, t-shirt. And then in like tattoo writing, was written Poly Lifestyle. Which I think meant Polynesian lifestyle,
okay.
But I prefer to think
right.
A sort of Kevin Allison
polyamorous
context.
Polynesian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows?
There's fun ways to incorporate poi into lovemaking, I'm sure. Is that racist? Yeah.
Maybe. Well, it's hard to say.
It's hard to know whether something's racist when it's literally the only thing you know about their culture.
Sure.
I think the fact that you only know one thing about the culture is what's racist.
Yeah, I should probably just find various cultures that I only know of. I only know their primary food dish and just go a little deeper.
Main things
I'll
I know.
Start with Polynesians and I'll go from there.
Main things I know about Polynesian culture? bought this recording booth from a nice Samoan guy.
Is that a cultural thing?
He was running a Samoan pop music record label out of it, okay. And he gave me some of his CDs. I listened to them. Sound like other people's pop music, only more Samoan-y.
Okay.
Number two, watching the Tongan Festival, which took place once a year in the park that sits immediately outside of my dad's front windows. I learned that Tongans are super into cricket. And it's awesome because at least in the Tongan Festival, they wear traditional Tongan outfits, include sarongs, which may have a different name in Tonga. But it's just these enormous dudes in sarongs playing cricket, which is pretty awesome. And number three, I was always a big fan of Jesse Sopolu, the former 49ers center, because he and I had the same first name. So there you go. 3-1, Jordan. I win.
I don't know how useful any of those things are. Yeah.
None of them. I wouldn't characterize any of them as insights.
No.
They are things.
Dan, I do want to know about the Emmy Awards. You went last night. Now, there are two Emmy Awards ceremonies.
There's three. There's the daytime ones, which already happened.
Oh, sure.
And then the primetime Emmys are split into two. And there's the Creative Arts Ceremony that is not televised live. It will be televised 1 week later on FX Movies. So
that's not a real
check
network.
Your local cable provider.
So between showings of Taken and Avatar, you can watch.
You can watch what I assume is a heavily edited version of the Creative Arts Emmy, since it was nearly 4 hours.
Do they have a host?
No, it's just rotating celebrities coming out to present awards. But this is the technical categories. And writing for a variety comedy series is in the Creative Arts half the time. It's year on, 1 year off.
Is it always the same people, the same groups of people nominated? Is it always like, how many are there, five?
I think it's one of those categories where there's not necessarily a cap. Like, I think at the most we've had seven, but it's usually around
wow.
five.
Okay, so you're looking at what? We're talking about Daily Show, Colbert, Saturday Night Live.
Well, this year was not Saturday Night Live.
What?
No. We had a Daily
Show. Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Dead. Am I right, guys?
Colbert, Fallon, Portlandia, Amy Schumer, and Key and Peele were all up.
Good lineup.
That's a pretty solid group of shows.
No.
They actually picked pretty good shows.
Yeah. I don't want to get into judging other shows, but for the most part, I would have been happy losing to any of them.
Yeah. I mean, that's when you consider the jackasses who are voting on and picking these things.
Yeah, I'm a member of the Academy now.
Not bad.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is with those voting bodies is that they're mostly older people, right? Like they're all, you know, no matter how many young people come in, it's always just, you know, guys who wrote a couple episodes of Airwolf in the 70s. And
I know I took a music business class at UCSC, and the guy who taught it was in the Recording Academy. Mm-hmm. And he would vote on the Grammys just by taking a poll of his class because he had never heard of any of the artists.
Well, I mean, it's an aging body, and also I feel like the people who have time to vote on stuff are the retirees. So,
well, I vote in the SAG Awards every year, and I
vote in the People's Choice Awards every year. I don't want to brag about that.
I'm on the board of the
Entertainment Awards for me. Thank you very much.
Brene Brith for me.
I'm a fake Jew. I got a fake ID to vote in the Kids' Choice Awards.
I mostly voted for slime. A lot of slime.
Whether or not they should be slimed, you voted yes. it's a thing where you don't have to have seen everything. Like, if I've seen one of the movies, that's usually the one I vote for.
Yeah.
So, sorry to reveal what a sham the SAG Awards is. I know it's everybody's favorite night of glitz and glamour.
I know that you didn't walk home with the trophy this year.
No.
But the Daily Show's nominated almost pretty much every year, right?
Yes. I mean, I don't know what the streak is, but I've been there for 3 years, and I've been nominated all 3 years, and I've won my first year.
Oh.
So I feel bad for the guys who joined the show after me, but on the other hand, I don't give a shit sort of now.
Where do you keep your Emmy?
I have it on my sideboard.
Okay.
It's propping up some cookbooks that I also have next to my alcohol. So.
Yeah.
Have you thought about chopping off the Emmy's head, hollowing it out and filling it with booze?
Really careful not to spill the booze.
Yeah.
As like sort of a flask, like a really inconveniently shaped flask.
Sure, yeah.
That I just, can carry around.
Just put it in your back pocket when you go to an outdoor music festival.
What? No, this is just Miami.
Yeah.
There's no booze, sir.
This is an everyday average Emmy. Something you probably see every day, officer. Yeah. Now, excuse me, I'm going to go behind the porta potty and suck on its head.
I would like for you to become a spy, and you go. The KGB is turning you into some kind of counter spy, and the guy says to you, "What is one object that you carry around everywhere you go, but would be perfect to hide the microfilm?" And you're like, "Miami."
Yeah, I do. It did occur to me before coming here that the one year I won was the year I was not invited to come here on Jordan Jesse Go, so you guys may be a jinx.
That's true. I mean, I did set this up with Dan pretty well in advance, and I guess last year too. So yeah, okay.
You've hexed me.
You're out next year.
Mm-hmm.
Next year you're going on. I don't know. Totally lame. We'll see how that. What that does for your chances.
You know what? Let's go one step further. You're going on Totally Mommy.
I don't know what that is.
That's Elizabeth Lame's mom cast.
Okay. But I don't know what I can tell you about. I walked by John Voight, star of Baby Geniuses.
Sure.
Wearing a
Anaconda
very,
1.
Yeah.
First Anaconda nice film.
Scarf.
Is that how it's referred to now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like on, well, I mean, I have the
on the Blu-ray, yeah, on the DVD right, color, it's sure, a cover, it said Anaconda. On the Blu-ray cover, it says Anaconda 1 because
you want to watch the collection.
Don't have
yeah
it. You're like, I don't know. Is this searching for the blood orchid? Is there going to be a blood orchid in this? I don't know. My wife got to take a picture with Joel McHale, who was very kind about
oh
it, and suggested that they do the prom pose where he stood behind her with his arms encircling her.
That's cute. Oh, I keep an eye cute on McHale, though.
He's Did he get a boner?
I can only assume.
Yeah.
I hope so. I told Sarah that if Timothy Oliphant was there for any reason, that she had my permission to go to him. Although, I mean,
oh, so Oliphant's her hall pass?
Yeah.
He's
a handsome man. I mean, I might.
Oh, no, no. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad choice.
No.
It's just it's an interesting one.
Timothy Oliphant I heard on Fresh Air one time, and it occurred to me that if you're that handsome and magnetic, like he is an example of one of those. Remember when Craig Kilborn used to host the Late Late Show, and when he couldn't get a guest, he would just have this beautiful woman on? like two-thirds, like half of the guests on the Late Late Show were just a beautiful woman you've never heard of, like a model or just like
right
someone, like the third down the list on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue list.
So
or,
he was using this as a dating service.
Essentially. Well. But these women, you would hear them talk to him. One of the fatal flaws of the program was that you would hear them talk to him, and you're like, they've never had need to talk effectively. Yeah. They've had need to talk to convey their needs and wants.
Sure. Yeah, they point to food items.
But they've never had – and I felt like as I was listening to Timothy Oliphant, I was like, maybe this guy's – maybe that's what's going on with Timothy
oh, really?
Oliphant. Like he's so – like he's so stoic and handsome
yeah
that people just do everything he needs just in case, and he just has to sort of monosyllable his way through the world.
Okay. That's a little disappointing.
I wonder that about Gosling too a little bit.
Yeah.
I wonder that too if, you know, so many of his performances are, you know, he's soft-spoken. He doesn't say a lot. He's the strong, silent type. I wonder how much is actually going on.
To a fault too. Like everyone really loved Drive, and I'm not saying I didn't enjoy Drive.
Sure.
But for the first like half of Drive, I was like, is this guy supposed to be developmentally disabled in some way? Like, I can't read
My thing
it
with Drive is like, yes, he's handsome, yes, he's intense, but he's rude. People are talking to him and he's not responding. Like, think if you like walked into a situation and Ryan Gosling and Drived it, you would just – people would say, when are you going to be back tonight? And you would just go and turn around. Like, no, like that's a sociopath.
My my tailor, I was at my tailor and he apparently, I saw one of those scorpion jackets.
No, sure.
On the thing. And I said, oh, is that one of those scorpion jackets from Drive, from the movie Drive?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, we got 1,000 of these after Halloween in 2010.
Well, what he said was, yeah, we made the scorpion jackets for Ryan Gosling for mm-hmm. the movie because they do a lot of wardrobe work. And he's like, and so they gave us the rights to make them for people who want them. He said, do you want – and then he offered. He's like, I could make one for you if you like. And I thought, like, what normal human being could go through the world wearing that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely it was the year Drive came out. It was the Halloween costume, you know. But, yeah, just like hanging around and going to Trader Joe's in a scorpion jacket.
Well, there's a guy who's like, this is what has been missing. This is what's been holding me back from being Ryan Gosling.
Sure.
Is not having this scorpion jacket.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, watching – not even like a good Liam Neeson movie. It was like the one Unknown.
With him in January Jones.
Yeah, and he has like amnesia or something. And he's wearing like this sweater and an overcoat. And I'm like, I really want to wear those clothes. I love those clothes. I want to wear those clothes. And then I realized that the thing is, I'm not Liam Neeson. That's
sure.
the missing thing. Not the fact that I don't have that sweater and coat.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the classic dilemma of the dad who goes to Disneyland and buys the Indiana Jones hat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not happening for you,
right? Yeah, maybe before you bought the Indiana Jones hat, you should take out the cell phone holster. one thing you can lose. He made the scorpion jacket. Obviously, yep. this guy's a talented dude. Do you think it's just maybe the scorpion that's ostentatious? Maybe another animal.
Like a less impressive, like a lemur?
Yeah, like sure.
Like
I mean, there's
kitten.
A lot. Right, or a cute kitten. I mean, an animal that's still powerful, but not maybe like known for deadly force, you know? Maybe like a tapir.
Okay.
Or
so something with impressive physical strength.
Sure, a hippo.
Or like a
but isn't
poison
like,
frogs.
Like sure.
It's small, but it's got very powerful poison.
Right, yeah, exactly. If an ocelot was to eat this, he would be kind of sick for a few days.
Another weird thing, my tailor makes a lot of weird different – because the thing is, it's like I think just if you're a tailor that makes custom clothing in Los Angeles and you're willing to do something weird – which my tailor is Korean, and I think that's like in Korean tailoring culture, there's not like a you do it my way thing, which there is in British and Italian tailoring culture. And so if you're willing to make something weird, you just get wardrobe work because wardrobe people need people to make, you know, whatever. It's like my friend Raoul's mentor was famous for having made the crazy shoes for Star Trek the Motion Picture. Like that was like a big thing, and like
did they have crazy shoes.
Yeah, and even to this day, Raul's old mentor is 90 and senile, lives in Mexico, but Raul still like gets orders from Star Trek fans that want him to make them $1,000 pairs of crazy Star Trek shoes from Star Trek the Motion Picture. But anyway, the crazy things that my tailor makes. Number one, Prince's stage clothes, which I don't know if you've ever seen the way Prince dresses, but it's distinctive.
It's a little, yeah. He's known for being a little flamboyant, isn't he?
It's the kind of
purple color palette, I would say.
It's the kind of clothes that even Prince almost can't pull off.
Is Prince in good shape these days?
Prince is in great shape.
Okay.
No, Prince is...
I guess the most recent picture I saw of him was the one going around with him in the cane.
At Wimbledon?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I guess I couldn't tell if he was...
That was an affectation or something that was...
Prince was required at Wimbledon.
Prince was having some hip problems at some point.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But no, Prince is in fantastic shape.
Okay.
No issues in that department.
Sure.
It's really just that he's, you know, I mean, he's a 55-year-old man, however old he is at this point. And... his taste may have been left behind a little.
Sure.
He may or may not currently dress half like Prince in 1986 and half like Steve Harvey in 2006. You know, just a little bit of each.
Are you saying that Prince might be in some way cut off from the world and not understand?
I would dare not to suggest such a thing. But the most remarkable thing that my tailor makes is the vestments for the Church of Scientology.
Wow. I bet those are some impressive estimates, too. I bet they want those to be I mean, they have to be ready in case the mothership comes, right? So those have to be space ready.
Yeah. The one time I saw this crazy thing on his, you know, on his rack. Because, you know, just it's not a huge shop. So just whatever's ready is ready, and it's just on the rack. And I was like, what is this crazy? What is this thing here? Mr. Lim, can you please tell me what this is? And he said it was not only was it a Scientology thing, it was for David, what's his name, the king of the Scientologists.
Oh, yeah. Great.
You know the guy I'm talking about?
Yeah.
David something? Either of you guys?
David Miscavige? Miscavige.
Yeah.
I think it's just true. Miss Cabbage from the
– Miss Cabbage?
Yeah, from the land from of the, vegetables. I don't know.
Little Miss Cabbage?
From VeggieTales. Yeah.
Scientology VeggieTales.
So I guess
I think that's what maybe what Scientologists need is they need some sort of adorable CGI property to kind of like you know just gently kind of force their agenda.
I was just this morning eating breakfast at a restaurant that is across the street from one of the big Scientology centers in Hollywood, California. This one is like – I guess it used to be a hospital or something like that is my guess. But it takes up an entire city block. And what's weird about it is the Scientologists all wear uniforms. All those I don't know what the specific function of this building is, but it's a huge building. And the Scientologists there all wear these uniforms that make them look like some kind of hotel steward, I would say. And they walk – out the front door, down the block, around the corner, and in the back door. It's like when – it's as though they were ants and the front door was where they lived and the back door there was a brownie. You know what I mean? Or a spilled milkshake. Like they do it in a sort of steady and constant stream that – the more I watched it as I was waiting to get a table in this restaurant, the more terrified I became.
Yeah, it seems like they're just a few days away from organizing, you know.
Yeah. Or from turning their organization against us.
Sure, yeah, there you go. Yeah, they've already organized.
Yeah, like they're ready to go. Like whatever needs to go down, they're ready for it 100%. Like the most you know, serious, deeply committed, second coming is imminent evangelical Christian group, I think if you're real about it, 40% ready for whatever goes down.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
They've got some canned food.
But they don't have epaulettes.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? There's no epaulettes there.
You think that whatever invasion or like rapture is going to be shoulder based? You think?
Like, I think it's
the soul's gonna escape through the shoulder. So you gotta,
you gotta keep
that.
It in with.
You need a clear, invisible chain of command. Is what I'm saying. You want to know who's 3-star, who's 2-star, who's 1-star, when Xenu comes. I don't have I've got about as sophisticated an understanding of the precepts of Scientology as I do of any Polynesian culture, any given Polynesian culture. Okay, well, I think we've gotten off of the depressing subjects reasonably well. We'll come back, maybe talk a little more about what it's like at the Emmys in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. You know that feeling you get when you hear a song that you just love? What about a new movie or a new book or a new TV show? I'm Jesse Thorne. My show Bullseye points to the good stuff in popular culture, the kind of stuff that might change your life. In-depth interviews with cultural creators, critics' picks for the best new releases, and a weekly recommendation from yours truly. It's Bullseye with me, Jesse Thorne, from MaximumFun.org and NPR. La, 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 la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Dan McCoy, mournful sigh.
Dan.
Yeah.
You're a beautiful man.
Thanks.
So you said 4 hours the Emmys take?
Yeah, it's you learn very quickly, or my wife especially learned, that she had, I think, no fewer than 3, possibly 4 power bars in her clutch.
And what are the 4 hours in question?
Oh, God. You have to understand, like, now every nonfiction show has its stuff. Like, there's the unstructured nonfiction shows, there's the structured nonfiction shows, and they've got all their technical categories. You got the special effects, like, categories. You got the makeup categories. All the below-the-line stuff, literally everything, has an award for every different genre. And they also give you, like, when you walk in, one tiny, like, maybe 4-ounce bottle of water that has Emmys on it. And that's all of the liquid that you're going to get for the next however long. Which is good, because you also don't want to have to get up and pee.
When do people get up? Was there just, like, a moment when, like, you know, one guy, and it was the, like, you know, like, what's that American Idol guy?
Simon Cowell?
No, the host guy.
Ryan Seacrest.
Like, Ryan Seacrest gets up and everybody's like, okay, time to get up and go to pee.
I mean, during the Creative Arts Emmys, honestly, it's a little looser. Like, everyone around me was checking their phone constantly. there was very little actual attention to what was going on stage. But at the real ones, I know you don't know when your category is coming up at all.
Oh, yeah, sure.
With Creative Arts, because we're one of the more popular categories, because we put together like a monkey reel of like the funny clips of all the writers.
A monkey reel is an industry term.
Yeah, like I don't know. There was one like this one year, like Colbert's one was all of the writers like on Tinder, and Colbert was swiping through like saying no, no, no. Like,
oh, that's cute.
And ours was like.
But you guys were puppets one year, weren't you?
Yeah, we had the Whatnots Muppets people make puppets of us. And we had like this year was Bush's paintings, the names of people.
That's pretty good. Oh, that's great.
But so if it's creative arts, like ours is one of the bigger categories, so you kind of know that it's going to be at the end.
Yeah.
But when we were on the big show, I had no idea, and I really had to pee because I had first gone to the Creative Arts Emmys the year before and knew how terrible it was, so I loaded up on as much beer as I possibly could before going in, which was not a good
choice. So your thinking was, I want to go in there with a little bit of a buzz.
I want to go in there as loaded as you can get in the 1 hour that the bar is open before.
Oh,
the
interesting.
Thing
so there
open
is
bar,
a
cash bar.
Cash bar.
So there is a bar, but it's only there for a limited time.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
And it's in heavy rotation, so you gotta.
What are you paying for a beer at the Emmys?
It's like these are beers like you would get at like a stadium. You're paying like $6 or $7, but for like. A
can you
beer.
Also get an ice cream sundae and a helmet?
You can't. You can get ice. You can get a.
What do you
gotta
pay for? What do you gotta pay for a red rope?
Oh, you can't afford it.
I guess I mean not to armchair quarterback you here, Dan, but I mean. Was beer the best? I mean, if you're looking for a buzz, I mean, can you just get 3 cocktails or a big double or something like that? Was that not the better, but the better way to go?
Rubbing alcohol, man.
Yeah, sure.
Well,
sorry. I mean, I know hindsight is 20/20, and
I guess you should have been nominated because your superior drinking plans.
Yeah,
Jordan. Instead of making me feel bad, I mean, I just lost an Emmy, but if you want to make me feel bad about
drinking
strategies.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm sure.
No, it's fine. Go ahead, guys.
I'm sure I'll someday be recognized for my contribution to the hashtag war shart quotes. any year now.
You're part of the same family, though. You're like,
Us
and then Colbert and then you.
I'll say, I mean, In that order. I opened up to you a little bit in the car, Dan, but I was not, despite being a Comedy Central employee, I was not invited to the Comedy Central Emmy party and definitely felt a lot of social network-based jealousy last night looking at everybody.
Wait, who gets invited and who doesn't?
I don't know. Not me.
That's bullshit.
You know who gets invited? Dan. You know who doesn't get invited? Jordan.
And it didn't seem to be a particularly like Comedy Central centric crowd either. Like
Cartman wasn't there.
I saw Scott Aukerman and Ricky Lindholm there. Both
They're on a rival network.
Lives. So
this
is
bullshit.
Everyone tweet at Comedy Central.
You know what?
No, don't.
Now that I think of it, I've never been nominated for an Emmy. I hosted a television show for almost 6 months.
Sure.
And I hosted another television show that never went to series, but they did air the segments from it repeatedly over the course of several years.
Do you think your controversial views about Israel might be part of it?
You know what I think it is? I think I probably just forgot to send in the packet, right?
Yeah.
You know, or like just my people.
Yeah. And to be fair, his controversial opinion about Israel is that they have funny voices. It's nothing about their religion or
is that it's located at
their
the
policies.
North Pole.
Yeah.
Is that I think karate is way better than Krav Maga.
Sure.
Yeah.
So 4 hours. When does it start? When does it end?
We got in there at 3:30 and about 7:30, I guess, would have been the...
Then what do? You go to Musso and Frank's?
You go to the Governor's Ball, which is you just walk down the block. And you walk in, like, you know, it's a big place. You get dinner. There's music and dancing and an open bar. So there's the open bar.
Is the governor there?
No.
Or
the governor of Missouri is there, and you get to throw things at him.
You really fucked this one up!
Yeah. No, but you walk, like, it was weird. The theme this year was, I mean, like, they usually tell you what the theme is on the tickets, and 1 year it was Romantic Rhapsody in Red.
Hmm.
1 year it was Enchanted Forest. And
wait,
this year,
this isn't real.
No, this is
this is not real. Dan McCoy, you're just recalling your homecoming dances from high school.
So the two examples, were those two examples real?
Those actual ones.
Romantic Rhapsody in Red is kind of nice in general.
Sure.
It has a color and just kind of a general vibe. Yeah, Enchanted Forest seems like you should be wearing antlers. That seems way more specific.
It had like sort of like fake crystals all over the place, mm-hmm. like a forest that might be, you know, an ice queen may have come through and touched something and turned it all
sure,
across.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But this year...
But you're not expected to dress according to
you
the
didn't
theme,
have to
right?
wear elf ears.
Yeah, I had to take off my tux and in between put on a doublet. There was no theme on the ticket, but the theme seemed to be lasers. Walked in and it was all smoke machines and lasers. And it's like, oh, well, now we're at a Floyd concert after 4 hours of that.
Sure, yeah. Smoke a little dude behind the Governor's Ball. And
I like that the Governor's Ball is doing like a 1987 type thing.
It did seem that maybe it was like there was some sort of gay pride theme because there was there were rainbows on the wall but I was kind of unclear as to what
sure. Gays love lasers.
Yeah. That's why they call them gazers. They're starting to call them that.
It delighted me more than it probably should have.
Yeah. What are we?
You're like, you know what? I wish someone would say the world's most obvious joke.
is dinner at the Gay Pride Emmys? What's it called? The Governor's Ball?
Yeah.
Are we talking about beef, chicken, fish, vegetarian?
Yeah. I think
buffet.
It's served to you, but I think that if you want something that's not the main thing, you have to ask for specifically.
Kosher like, option, halal.
Well, it was a beef was the main dish, and I kind of like I have to imagine that in a Hollywood crowd, there's going to be a shit ton of vegetarians there who are specifically having like.
I think maybe when you're getting into like acting Emmys,
yeah,
maybe more so, but creative arts,
right?
That's a bunch of slobs, beef eating slobs.
Thanks. No, it was salad. It was beef. It was some weird ice cream thing.
Oh, that's nice.
What was it? What kind of weird ice are we talking about? Like fried Alaska? That's fried ice cream. It's pretty weird.
It's one of those things where like there's layers. And so like it's nested layers of ice cream and cookie and whatever.
And now you say it's weird. It sounds pretty good to me.
Sounds pretty good.
I mean, I've never been nominated for an Emmy, so I wouldn't know.
The actual details of this, other than lasers, is pretty boring, I'm realizing, as we're talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely should have led with ice cream cookie combination.
Yeah.
And then when you saw us starting to drift off, then you're like, oh, by the way, it was covered in gay lasers.
Does Joel McHale come to that party, too?
No, that's where we got the... I don't know whether like these are like secrets of the Governor's Ball that I'm not supposed to be revealing, but I
if they are, you'd think they'd be better.
Yeah, there are.
It seems like oh, and then there's you know
like, oh, and then there's a party.
Yeah, and then the
that party is what you would expect.
Yeah, and then the Joker comes in. He snaps a pool cue in half, throws it on the ground, and makes everybody fight for the remnants so they can beat each other.
Yeah. No, the weird thing about the thing is that like at every table. They give you a list of everyone who's there and the table that they're at.
Oh, so you can go check them out.
Yeah, celebrity stalking.
Oh.
Did you see anybody? You saw Mikhail. Did you hunt down anybody else based on your list?
I didn't hunt down anybody else. I saw people milling around. I saw Jenny McCarthy at one point. I saw Kate Mara.
Well, you got to get a picture with Jenny McCarthy. She's one of the worst people in the world.
Interesting that Jenny McCarthy – interesting how people just stay famous enough to go to that stuff. You know, it's because like – although I guess she's still on TV, right?
I don't know. She's not on The View anymore. She was on The View, but she got the boot, right?
Hmm. Oh, I don't know. Hard to say.
I really hope I actually saw Jenny McCarthy and not just random Hollywood starlet.
Woman with enormous breasts.
Yeah, exactly. I just had this vision of Jenny McCarthy listening to George Jesse go as she does every week.
Sure.
And I just made her feel really bad when I said she was one of the worst people on earth.
Yeah.
She isn't actually probably one of the worst people on earth.
But like throwing down her
iPod. She's doing her best. She's just doing a bad job.
Sure.
Yeah. No, she's terrible, but she's okay. She's great.
I dated a girl once who one of her legitimate favorite movies was the movie Jenny McCarthy made called
Dirty
Love.
Oh yeah, Dirty Love.
Clearly, Dirty Work was the Norman Tuttle.
That's one of my favorite movies.
They were clearly trying to capitalize off the amazing success of Dirty Work. Like, how can we get some of this heat? One of the scenes from Dirty Love, and you could tell, I don't know, like just watching it, I mean, it's a wretched movie, and you could tell the kind of the idea was like, oh, let's make our something about Mary, you know, like let's put in as many gross out moments as possible. And there's one scene where Jenny McCarthy goes to the supermarket and gets her period and she just launches blood all over the floor and then is like slipping in the blood like a Three Stooges villain will slip on pies. And it's just this crazy thing. And it's like it's not explained that maybe Jenny McCarthy has a super period or if like why she's bleeding so much and why it's gushing all over the place or and causing her to slip.
An injury that's been aggravated by getting her period.
Yeah, yeah. It's like there's just this crazy – there's crazy cartoon version of human biology going on with no explanation.
My old football trick.
My trick vagina. Oh, I can tell it's going to rain because my trick vagina is acting.
Blood.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I've actually.
like the bed in Freddy Krueger 1.
I've actually seen this movie.
Yeah.
But I don't remember anything about it. I blocked it from my mind.
Did you do an episode of your hit show, The Flophouse, about it?
We did not. Although my friend Stuart and I watched it together. Recreationally.
Yeah.
But I have to ask, having forgotten everything about the movie,
I will say I think that's all I remember. But go ahead. Maybe I'll have another.
Does the scene end with a stock boy going, clean up on aisle 4?
It should.
Okay. So someone knows that.
Was there anyone – did you like go through the list with like a pen? Because I'm imagining you taking the list. In my mind, by the way, it looks like the roster from my middle school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got a pencil behind your ear. You take it out, lick the tip, mm-hmm. and then you start checking people off that you want to – and crossing people out that you don't want to.
And you say, got to collect them all.
Wait, were there any Pokemons?
Bulbasaur did not show up. He only goes to the main enemies.
Bulbasaur is such a snob.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that sore.
Yeah, but Pikachu is a real man of the people, a real Pokemon of the people.
Now, you know what? I was talking to Pikachu the other day about Hillary Clinton's possible run for president.
Sure.
And I said to him, what do you think about this? You know, she seems like she wants to break from Obama, but at the same time take credit for her work in the Obama administration. And you know what he said something that I thought was really trenchant. Pikachu.
I can see it coming down the road, but then it didn't make me less delighted.
Don't get me started on Groot's speech on tort reform.
So was there anyone there that you were personally excited to see? I mean, Joel McHale's great. And Joel McHale is in addition to being really funny and stuff, he's a very nice dude too. And I've met him in like similar circumstances to that. And I was like, this guy's a nice guy. Good work, Joel McHale.
One of the presenters was Judy Greer, and I would have dearly loved to have met her, but I think she cut out before the governor's ball.
Yeah, Greer's got places to be. She's got other stops to make.
Man, I'll tell you what. When Judy Greer was on Bullseye not that long ago, she ended the interview without me asking for it by saying, say goodbye to these.
She knows what people want to hear.
Judy Greer's a princess. She's a solid gold dancer as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, I've enjoyed her new show, but I'm also glad that she's sort of in a starring role in a new show because she's always been relegated to like the goofy sidekick and things. And
it's amazing. Yeah, just a great example of how like in mainstream things they have to get the most attractive person in the world to play the goofy person.
Right. Well, I was like, just the whole world – has the world gone mad? Can only I see that she's gorgeous?
Sure, I know, yeah.
That's how I feel. I'm really – one of the thing that I think I like the most about that show – well, I like a lot of things about that show. One of the things that I like about that show is that one of my best friends is on it.
Sure.
But one thing that I thought was really cool about it was that both of the leads, not just Judy Greer but also Nat Faxon, are these people who are so great, so talented, so funny, such good actors. And both are gorgeous but in like a slightly more human way. Mm-hmm. And for some reason their humanity has precluded them from being the star of anything.
Right.
You know, like if you see Nat Faxon walking down the street, you're like, get a load of that fucking hunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And same with Judy Greer. You're like, what a freaking babe. You know what I mean?
Yep. So call us, you guys. We're putting it out there.
206-984-4FUN.
Leave a message.
That's our number. Okay.
Or if, you know, you're in the grocery store and an old woman farts or something. Mm-hmm. That's another good reason to call the number.
Speaking of which, we'll
be back. But also if you want to have sex with us.
We'll be back with Momentous Occasions in just a second.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Dr. Sydney McElroy.
Every Tuesday, we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine, a show about all the dumb, weird, terrible ways that we've tried to fix each other over the years. You know, some light summer listening.
Maybe you want to hear about yogurt enemas, or why we tried to eat mummies for a while, or why drinking cholera diarrhea sounded like a good idea.
That and so much more is waiting for you every Tuesday right here on the Maximum Fun Network with Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Dan McCoy, mournful sigh.
I have to say, we just got delivered some breaking news.
Some bombshell news in more ways than one.
I am still processing this news. Our intrepid engineer and producer, Jennifer, was quick on the draw and use the power of the internet to find out why Jenny McCarthy was at the Emmys. Mm-hmm. And it's because she and Donnie Wahlberg are not only an item, but a very serious item. And Donnie Wahlberg was nominated for an Emmy for his reality show, The Wahlbergers.
What category is that in?
So I just want to tip my...
Outstanding Unstructured Reality.
Outstanding Unstructured Reality Program.
So I doff my cap to the entertainment industry. Long may it reign. Good work, America, for supporting all of that.
Their relationship, you mean?
Just the whole thing.
Yeah.
Their whole deal from the Wahlbergers to keeping people from getting vaccinated. Just the whole operation. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Everything under that umbrella. So is structured reality show mean like a game show type show, and unstructured means a show that's written by writers?
I think so, yeah. And I was just thinking, like, Hardwick was nominated for At Midnight's interactive thing.
Yeah,
you think
yeah.
That they ran into each other and were kind of awkward with each other.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I know that for At Midnight we have written some jokes about Jenny McCarthy, and yeah. He is perfectly fine delivering them. So, yeah, I think it's a thing where they probably haven't talked in a long time and probably don't sure. care to.
Yeah, I think he's. I will also say about Chris that. You know, he's been on The Sound of Young America a few times over the years. And, you know, when I do that, a lot of times I read a lot of interviews with him. He is always exceedingly gracious mm-hmm. about Jenny McCarthy. It's not like they have a feud or anything mm-hmm. like
sure.
that. Like, I mean, Chris is a pretty publicly gracious guy now behind closed doors.
A monster.
No, like Chris is a gracious guy, but I don't think there's any static between right. them just because – Jenny McCarthy has weirdly transformed into whatever it is that she is. And he has had
swan.
Such and he has had
su- right.
He has had such lovely success.
Yeah.
Sure.
I wish unstructured I wish like the other nominees in unstructured reality show were all like verite documentaries, like
sure.
Salesmen.
Right.
Or whatever.
Anything by the Maisels, really.
Yeah, anything Maisel. That should be the category. Anything Maisel.
Yeah.
Dan, what is the most memorable film that you recently watched for your hit podcast, The Flophouse, in which you watch films that are have reputations for being less than superb?
Jeez. They all go out of my brain almost immediately, honestly. I watched.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you guys – something that I like a lot about the show is that it's not like talking about an incompetent movie like, you know, Birdemic or something like
right.
that. But it's just a movie that kind of came and went that you were maybe curious about but couldn't bring yourself to see. And then mm-hmm. you get a synopsis of it and some great jokes about it. So yeah, it's I feel like a lot of times the movies are just kind of these weird flashes or something like that.
Yeah, the ones that do stick in your head are the ones that are kind of outliers for us, the ones that we pick just because they're so fascinating looking and not actually yeah. big Hollywood films like Food Fight or something.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. I love the Food Fight episode. That's a great one.
What was Food Fight?
Food Fight's this movie where like someone saw Toy Story basically and was like, oh, the idea of like toys coming to life, that's very charming. You know what else kids love? All of their favorite branded characters from the supermarket. So what we're going to have is when the lights go down at the grocery store, all the food characters come out to play.
Wait, and, like Toucan Sam?
Yeah.
Is the Jolly Green Giant involved?
I think he
and
is.
And Sprout?
Sprout. Like, the thing is, like, they could not get a bunch of actual branded characters. Like, they wanted to. I think they thought, like, this will help pay for the movie. We'll have a synergy here, but there's almost no ones that you recognize. Like Twinkie the Kid shows up at one point, I think, but otherwise it's just terrible. Like anime, like
and they like released it unfinished too, right? Like it's
they started making it, and the animation all got stolen halfway through making it, so they had to redo the whole thing.
Wait, it got stolen?
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Someone broke in. It's like, who cares about this expensive animating equipment? I'm going to take these decks of tapes that have all the information on it.
Wow. Okay. When something momentous happens to you, like, for example, half of your movie gets stolen, we ask you to call us at 206-984-4FUN. Let's go to the calls.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jesse. Hi, guests. My name is Josh from Marietta, Georgia. I have a momentous occasion. I am at a Walmart where they have some $5 CDs, and among them is Miley Cyrus's Bangers. A little girl walked up to the CD bin without even skipping a beat, reached in and pulled it out and said, "Look, Mommy." And her mom said to her, "I will punch you in the face." And she said, "No, you won't." And her mother said, "Yes, I will," and started walking away. And it was pretty great. I liked it. Good job, Mom. Thanks. I love the show. Bye.
Whoa.
Weird endorsement
yeah,
of child abuse.
Yeah, right?
Whoa.
I mean, I guess I agree that a five-year-old probably shouldn't be.
Should
know better. You're too old for Miley Cyrus. That's for four-year-olds. Yeah, wow. Have you had to go to those lengths with the kids yet? Have you had to threaten
I hit any of my children?
Give them a dead leg or?
You know, if they talk back to me.
Yeah.
You know, you got to teach them a lesson once in a
sure.
while. Sure. No,
Purple Nurple will fix that back talk.
Children don't, they really like, so far, my older son's three now. Mm-hmm. Anything that he's interested in, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
He has no autonomy. Like, I'm sure by the time he's five, you know, he'll be
to
talking
start to
about
subscribe to magazines.
He'll be talking about things with his peers. Yeah, he'll be getting FHM.
Sure.
But, like, right now, like, what does he like? The Big Bird movie. You know? It's because I bought it at the thrift store on DVD for $1. I was like, yeah, the Big Bird movie. Yeah, Simon can watch the Big Bird movie if he wants to. You know what I mean? I do have to say that I don't think I'm built for Yo Gabba Gabba.
We've talked about this before.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's – I think it's sure. for a different person
yeah.
who is also a parent.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just – you know, I think what it is that I think when you – it seems like when you become a parent, you automatically have to ingest – tons and tons of kid stuff, you know, that you wouldn't normally be ingesting. And I think Yo Gabba Gabba, you know, hipster parents like it so much just because it has a little gleam of coolness in it. So, you know, they don't feel like they're watching.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I got together with some two high school buddies recently who both have they both have two-year-olds and then like 3 months old. And then, you know, we couldn't go out and do something because of the kids. So I just kind of came and visited, and they had the 3 months old on their laps, and we all just sat around talking while Despicable Me played in the background for the other ones to, you know. So I think that you just have to ingest all that stuff all the time. So when something is like a little bit cool, you're like, oh, fucking finally, something that, yeah. So I think that's why Yo Gabba Gabba is so, you know, beloved by hipster parents.
There's some stores in like – there are a slew of stores in Brooklyn where it's, you know, basically like you get – I don't know. You get your greeting cards there and your homemade wrapping paper and also like some old tin toys.
Sure.
And like a book about brewing your own moonshine.
Right.
And I feel like Yo Gabba Gabba is like that store was made into a children's show.
Yeah. I'll tell you what show I do like that is like a contemporary show. There's a show called – and I totally don't hate Yo Gabba Gabba at all. I don't regret introducing it to him at all. It has a lot of fun things on it. There's a show that's produced by the people who used to produce Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood called Daniel Striped Tiger's Neighborhood or Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood.
I don't know why. Something funny came up. I forget what I was watching, but a commercial for the Daniel Striped Tiger event, 1 hour event where they have a new baby came on.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm like, wow, there's a lot going on. And then I guess maybe it was I was listening to.
You're hanging out watching Frontline.
Frontline. I forget what I was watching. American Experience. I don't know.
Yeah.
Old Huell Housers. Anyways, and then I heard on Pardo that the Daniel Striped Tiger is a Mr. Rogers spinoff.
Yeah, it is. It exists in the neighborhood of Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers is not a character in it. The main character is Daniel Striped Tiger. But Daniel Striped Tiger has parents in this mm-hmm. who are also tigers, and it's animated. And what I like about it is that it is, it has these little songs, and the songs are like totally within the ability of my child to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
And they totally actually help us teach him to like behave and be good in the world. Like they're actually, you can tell they're like really research driven and functional, and it's a very sweet. I don't want to watch it. Like, let's be clear, it's for 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds. You know what
wait,
I mean?
Wait, are you mad? Do you think people are watching Yo Gabba Gabba without kids?
No, I think they're watching it with their kids.
Yeah.
I think that there's a – I think that part of what Yo Gabba Gabba is this thing like, oh, it's for parents and kids mm-hmm. together. Like I watch – you know, we don't sit my son in front of the TV a lot. But, you know, I like seeing Bismarcky.
Sure.
I think it's fun when Mark Mothersbaugh draws something. You know what I mean? That's fun. And it has fun songs too, you know? But I like how sort of sweet and functional it is. I kind of like how it's not cool at all, does not care mm-hmm. if it's cool, but it's also not fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's the other thing, is so many of these shows are so fucking stupid, like insulting. Like, they just take the fact that you can entertain a little kid with almost anything that's moving on a screen and just use it to just warp their little brains.
Would the kids not sit still for an Adventure Time?
No, I think Adventure Time's pretty far ahead. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think Adventure Time, they're going to have to be 5 or 6 before.
Gotcha.
Because Adventure Time really is for like a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think, you know, a 6-year-old could watch Adventure Time and get something out of it.
Sure.
Adventure Time is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, Adventure Time is a really wonderful thing. But a little kid, they only get certain things out of things. You know, I mean,
if it was stupid programming, would you respect it more if it had kind of integrity about that? Like whether, you know, if someone just pointed like a camera at someone like jingling some keys at the screen, like, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's honest about what it is. It's just movement and sound.
I mean, it's not a bad idea. We just throw some sugar cereal commercials in there and... You know, I think we got a pretty solid business model going, yeah. Dan.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sweet thing. That's what I like about it. And then we watch Mr. Rogers on Sesame Street together. And I don't try not to watch the Sesame Streets with Elmo in it because Elmo makes me feel crazy.
You guys going to watch the Daniel Striped Tiger 1-hour new baby movie?
It sounds like something we should check out.
Yeah,
I mean,
sounds like the TV event of the season.
We watch it on the Amazon.
Hell, Sharknado 2.
Yeah, right. Everybody's going to be live tweeting Daniel Striped Tiger new baby.
We have one more call. Let's hear it.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. This is Shannon from Houston with a momentous occasion. My husband is always trying to lose weight and doesn't want me to keep anything fattening in the house. And he is notorious for coming home and digging into the pantry and finding some strange thing to eat. So this afternoon, I come home and he's in the pantry, and I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I don't have an Oreo." And I said, "We don't have any Oreos." And he's like, "No, here we do. These are the Oreos." Well, they were dog treat. And so we both started laughing so hard. And then he had this horrified look on his face, and he said, "I ate 6. So it was pretty momentous and thought you guys might get a kick out of it. Good job. Have a good day. Bye.
I'm concerned about this lady's husband. I feel like you got to get this guy to a hospital because something has happened to yeah. his taste buds.
Yeah, get your husband to the hospital, Betty Magoo.
There's some brain aneurysm has taken
Jeez,
out.
Jeez, yeah.
Because there's no way that those things taste like chocolate.
That's crazy.
Chocolate is poisonous to dogs.
Yeah.
That would be the opposite of what it would taste yeah. like.
Because the opposite of the poisonous thing is what is good for someone.
I'm ready to invite Sharon on Jordan Jesse Go as a guest just so we can listen to her talk.
Yeah.
What a mellifluous voice.
Cool yeah. drawl.
Oh, I love a nice drawl.
Mm-hmm.
Nice lady drawl. Bring that on the program. Yeah, I like a gentleman drawl too. You get Wade Goodwin on the radio for me.
Sure.
NPR's Wade Goodwin. Yeah, I'm in. Wade Goodwin in Dallas, Texas. Yeah, you bet. You bet your buttons.
Mm-hmm. Just get some drawl and some Judy Greer.
6 is a lot.
Yeah. But, I mean, the good thing is he got all of his medicine in that.
Sure, yeah.
He'd hidden the medicine
yeah,
inside.
His worms medication. He's not over-grooming anymore.
Okay. If you have a momentous occasion, give us a call, 206-984-4FUN, 206-984-4FUN, or email it to us at jjgo@maximumfun.org. The easiest thing to do is just take out your phone right now and put in the number because you remember it right now, 206-984-4FUN. And then when something momentous happens, you'll be ready to go. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
Dan McCoy, mournful sigh.
Dan, it's been an absolute joy and a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you. Did I, when this is released, did I make it in for the end of Anal August? Did that, or is it going to be after?
This will be,
be during Anal August.
So I slipped it in at the tail end. Thank you.
Did you have
Emmy loser.
Did you have Dan McCoy written on your palm?
I did.
On the airplane, you're like,
Dan, honestly, you lubed it up so much I didn't even notice.
Thanks. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Dan's Smash Hit podcast is the Flop House, the terrible, the ignored, the not well remembered.
Exactly.
The never noticed.
Yeah. At flophousepodcast.com.
And I think you should listen to it for a variety of reasons, some of which will be revealed in a few weeks, some of which are just because it's great.
Thank you.
Dan McCoy, also the music artist behind the legendary disco hit, The Hustle. So congratulations.
Sure. Yeah. You would think I could just live on the royalties of that.
Yeah.
I've got a second career as a television writer.
Sure.
And he looks great.
You just like to work, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly, a little paler than you did back then.
Thanks.
But congratulations on all your success in the field of music.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I guess that's about it. If you want to talk about the show, forum.maximumfun.org is a great place to go. Hashtag it, JJGo on Twitter. Join us on Facebook. We got a Facebook group. And a lot of fun on the Max Fun Reddit every week. You know, a lot of times people post up 20, 40, 50 different comment discussions. You know, it's not just Lathreeper.
A lot of fun folks.
It's all kinds of fun people, you know, up there in the Maximum Fun. No, it's reddit.com/r/maximumfun for that. Forum.maximumfun.org for the forum. And hey, you know, you can go up there in the Reddit. You can probably see a picture of a guy's fucking race car that he put the Max Fun logo rockets on. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it, assholes. In closing, go fuck yourselves.
Wow.
That message courtesy of Dan McCoy.
First you surprised me with your sad, heartfelt tale, and then a little libel at the end.
Jen Marmer on the boards this week. Our producer is Brian Fernandez. If you want a t-shirt, go to maxfunstore.com. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.